As I want you to look again tonight, verse 15 of tonight's text, you'll notice our Lord Jesus asked Simon Peter one of the more familiar questions, I think, in all the New Testament. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus, having resurrected, shows himself by the Sea of Tiberias to seven of the 12 apostles. This was a divine appointment with a very specific agenda. You've probably heard about the expression of power breakfast, you know, have your people call my people, and we'll hang out by a seaside cafe and have some sushi and do some networking, get this global thing going on. Well, guess what? That's not what happened. At this seaside, what happened in John 21 is that God told all of these fish to stay away, and then he told a whole bunch of fish to come back, and then at the precise time and place, he asked Peter a very specific and pointed question. And beloved, it is in this question that I want us to consider what I think are very powerful and very practical truths about our Christian life. I noted this morning that here by the seashore, it was our Lord told the Apostle Peter, to quote, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. It was not long after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Peter led basically some of the other apostles to join him in a night of fishing. You may remember, of course, that Peter was by profession a fisherman. No doubt he was a very good one. Yet verse 3 tells us that even though they had fished all the night long, they caught nothing. Look at it again, if you would. It says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. What does it mean by nothing, Pastor? It means they caught nothing. It was a futile night filled with frustration. I don't know how many of you in this room like to fish. I like to fish pretty much. I used to love to fish. But I don't like to fish all night long and catch nothing. That's miserable. Maybe I'm not a fishing purist. Maybe I don't quite get it. But when I go out in the water in a boat and not get a single bite all night long, far as I'm concerned, that's misery. You can put me on a rack or torture me, take me to the mall, whatever. Force me to listen to Joel's trombone, I don't know, but don't take me fishing if there's no fish there. I was 13, 14 years old. My bus captain, who, by the way, was here a couple Wednesday nights ago, and I didn't know it until after the service, and what a blessing to see him again. But he asked me to go fishing, pier fishing on the Carolina coast, and I said, sure. We drove 5 hours all night long. We got there about 2 in the morning. We fished all night long, and we caught nothing. It was a miserable, miserable night. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, that's all night long, catching nothing, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Yeah, I'm sure it was just one word, no. They're frustrated. Our Lord knew the answer to that question, but he's asking the question for their sake. He's asking the question for emphasis. All of this is leading up to one specific thing our Lord wants to do. So our Lord tells them, as was planned, to cast the net on the other side of the ship. Now let me ask you another question. Don't you think they've already done that? They're fishermen. Of course they've cast it on the other side of the ship. They've probably done it many, many times. But again, there's something familiar about that specific command coming from that specific person. You can imagine John and Peter look at each other and say, we've heard this before, and they have. And so they cast, and just like happened before, the Bible says they have more fish than they can draw in. And John then says to Peter, it is the Lord. Imagine the change immediately in their attitude at that moment. They fished all night long. They've caught nothing. We're not talking about watching a cork in the water. We're talking about casting nets. I've cast nets before up in Sebastian when I was younger. It's a lot of work. You cast a net, haul it in, cast a net, haul it in, cast a net, you haul it in, and after a while you get pretty tired, and they are weary, and they are frustrated, and they are hungry, and they are cold, and all of a sudden, he says, cast it on the other side. They cast it, and bingo! Bingo! Friday night, St. Peter's, fish, it all goes together, amen? And you know what? We're not talking about little fish. Look at verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. 150 and 3, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Imagine that, 153. And since John, who was there, is inspired to write this, this is the only fish story that's 100% true. Amen? 153 kosher fish. That means no catfish, no carp, good fish. In 1 minute, they're discouraged and they're tired. They're fruitless. They're cold. They're hungry. And the next minute, it's the second biggest catch of their entire lives. God is doing this for a purpose. And that's not all. Go back to verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Go down to verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? You talk about hospitality, folks. I mean, not only has the Lord just given them a harvest of their own fish, but he's already got a fire going, and some fish are already broiling on the fire, and some bread is baked. They're hungry. And then this personal invitation, come and dine. And so the disciples, weary and wet, gather around that warm fire, and they fill their stomachs with bread and fish that was prepared by God himself, by the bread of life. They go from misery to joy. What a difference an hour can make. And then after they've eaten, sitting there by the warm fire, their hunger satisfied, nearby lay their bounty of fish, which is tremendously fulfilling to fishermen. There in the comfort and the glory and the blessing of that moment, the Lord asks Peter a question. Verse 15. So when they had dined, stomachs are full, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. There are three things tonight, beloved, I want you to notice about this text and the way in which the question was asked by the Lord and then answered and applied by the Lord Jesus. The first thing I want you to notice, number one, it was a personal question. It was given personally to one man, verse 15. Again, look at it. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, calls his name, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? In other words, he calls him by name, addressing him as the son of John or the Simon, the son of Jonas. And then he says, lovest thou, that's one-on-one. And then he says, lovest thou me. This is as personal could possibly be. And what made it even more personal is the word love. He didn't say, Simon, do you trust me? Do you listen to me? Do you admire me? Do you fear me? Our Lord went straight to Peter's heart, straight into his soul, and he said, Simon, do you love me? You know, if you were to go door to door tonight and ask people at random, do you admire Jesus Christ as sort of a survey, I dare say that most people would say yes. I admire Jesus, the history, the historical Christ. But if you ask those very same people, if you were to say, do you love Jesus Christ? I promise you, I guarantee you'll get some dead silence. You'll get some strange, funny looks, occasionally a door slammed in your face. This is a very personal question, and it is a question that tonight is being asked of you without question. Put your name there. Do you love me? The Lord would ask of you. And if the Lord were sitting across from you and having just fed you and taken care of you, and ask and use your name, Terry, do you love me? What would you answer? Well, what would your heart say in your answer? Well, that brings us to the second thing I want you to notice. Number two, it was a proportional question. Verse 15 again. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Can I ask you a question? What does our Lord mean when he says more than these? More than these what? Well, you know, for about 2,000 years, Bible students have basically followed two lines of thought on who or what these are in the question. And the reason for that is that in the Greek text, you know, the Greek text does not indicate here whether the word these is gender neutral or masculine. You see, a pronoun usually has a clearly stated antecedent, that is, a noun for which the pronoun stands. However, interestingly, in this text, as every Bible commentator states, if you have a commentary, it leaves the whole thing completely open-ended. In other words, Jesus may have been asking, Peter, lovest thou me more than these other disciples who were sitting here love me? Because after all, that's sort of what Peter claimed before Calvary. He boasted, yea, though all men be offended in thee, Lord, I will never be offended in thee. Basically saying that he was more loving and more devoted to Christ than these, perhaps. Our Lord was reminding Peter of that and asked, do you still love me more than these others? And if that was the specific case, it's interesting that Peter doesn't answer it specifically. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's it. Maybe Peter was more humble since his denial. And of course, the other school of thought believes that the Lord was referring not specifically to these disciples, but to all of these things. You know, for a fisherman, 153 fish represents a lot of money for an hour's work. And looking around, if that's what our Lord was referring to, lovest thou me more than these, the Apostle Peter could see these things. Fish nets, a boat, a career. So that in essence, the Lord was asking Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, a fisherman, do you love me more than anything? These, the things that were always dearest to your heart and the things that you were always the best at, do you love me more than anything in your life? That would include, by the way, the miracle and the experience of that moment itself. The Lord could have asked Peter, Peter, the miracle you just experienced, you love me more than this? Folks, you realize that this was without a doubt a wonderful, wonderful experience. It was a powerful demonstration of the power and the glory of the resurrected Christ that they were drawn into by Christ himself. And certainly Peter, like any child of God, was sitting there in wonder and excitement. But folks, do you know that you can love an experience more than the Savior? You can get more excited about a miracle than you do the miracle worker. Pastor, I'm so excited. God answered my prayer. It is a miracle. Okay, what about the one who answered the prayer? Our Lord said, Peter, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Here are the disciples eating what must have been the meal of a lifetime. You ever notice how much better food tastes when you're really hungry? How much better it tastes when you're really tired, you've worked extra hard. And Shakespeare said, hunger is meal's best sauce. And Peter was a man who was hungry and tired. And that fish fillet never tasted so good, prepared by the very hand of God. So here they are, think about it, they are basking in the goodness of the Lord. And while Peter's licking his fingers, the Lord says, Peter, do you love me more than these, perhaps more than these material and spiritual even blessings? I don't know if you ever notice this, but oftentimes when people give a praise on a Wednesday night, they say, praise the Lord for my car, I got a job, I got a raise, my health, the report. And sometimes they'll say afterwards when they're talking to someone, man, the Lord did this. The Lord is so good, and it's true, he is good. But he's also good when he doesn't give us the raise. When his answer maybe is no, or wait a while. Because ladies and gentlemen, God is always, always good. The question is whether we love the goodness of God more than the God of the goodness. After all, the Lord knows something about Peter, and he's preparing him for this. Notice verse 19. This spake Jesus, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Follow Jesus to a martyr's death? Well, he'd better love the Lord more than these. He had better love the Lord more than successful fishing. Here are the disciples in John chapter 21 resting. In the sheer comfort of this wonderful moment, they're resting by a warm fire. There's a beautiful sunrise. They're eating breakfast with the Lord and the brethren. And whoa, what a joy. But Peter, do you love me? Me, the man, the person, your Savior. Do you love me more than you love these? Peter was a fisherman. He was a good one in his own mind, and to a real fisherman, there's nothing really in the world more fulfilling than a good night of fishing. The truth is, one really good fish is enough to make a night worthwhile to a fisherman. And Peter must have felt great. Not one, not two, not three or five. 153 great fish. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that Peter was the one who counted every one of them. There's nothing like feeling successful in your work, in the thing that you do. For Peter at that moment, he must have felt at the pinnacle of success. But Peter, do you love me more than these? You see, the Lord's not asking him, Peter, do you love me more than sin, than liquor, than wickedness? More than the good things. More than the brethren. More than your blessings in life. Sometimes we're like the little child who gets a gift and they play with the wrapper and the wrapping more than they do the gift. Well, guess what, folks? The blessings are just the wrapping paper. Jesus is the gift. He is the one who demands our love. He's the treasure. And in some ways, what Christ was asking Peter was simple. Do you love me more than you love you? Do you love me more than you love your own life? Because he would have to in the future. The state of Illinois announced years ago that it was going to issue personalized license plates. Instantly, they were barraged with over 10,000 requests for the plate that said number one. There's a shocker. Everybody wants to be number one. The Secretary of Transportation in Illinois couldn't decide how to figure out who asked first, so he gave himself. He assigned the plate to himself. Lovest thou me more than yourself, more than these? The question was personal. It was proportional, number three. Maybe most importantly, the question was purposeful. There was a reason for this. Look again at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my lambs. The last line of verse 16, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The last line of verse 17, Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let me ask you a question. If you're a parent tonight and you love your child, how do we know that you really love him or her? How does a parent, how does a mother, how does a father demonstrate their love for their child? Well, you can say it. I love my kids more than anything. I love my little girl. I love my son. And that's good. There's a problem with that, though. There are parents who said that just before they abandoned their child or drowned their child. I love you so much, and then they do harm. Saying so, obviously, is not proof of love. In fact, one way to know if a parent loves a child, just look for characteristics of those we know who don't love their children. For example, if a mother says she loves her children but lets them go hungry and cold without clothes while she's out partying somewhere, what do you say? You say, well, she doesn't love her children. She says so. She may even say so under oath. But her actions prove otherwise. You know she doesn't. She doesn't feed. She doesn't care for them, regardless of what she says. Thus, one way we know that a parent loves a child is if they desire and fulfill the feeding, the protecting, and the caring for that child, right? Well, the Lord Jesus says tonight, do you love me? Lovest thou me? And the question is, we all say we do, but how do you feed and care for the Lord Jesus? Right? How do you show? How do you demonstrate that your answer, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. How do you demonstrate that what you say is true? Jesus answers, "Feed my lambs." You love me? Feed my sheep. Drive them and herd them and fleece them, but feed my sheep. Now, beloved, please hear this carefully. These disciples, hungry and tired, had just been fed, comforted by the Lord Jesus. It was a blessed experience. It is and was a perfect illustration of what the Lord Jesus was calling them to do when he would lead them in the spiritual realm. The Lord Jesus wasn't talking about real lambs and real sheep. Neither was he talking about material food. He was talking about caring for the spiritual well-being of all believers, all of those who belong to him. Children, he said, have you? He called them children. And there are children of God in this room, and there are children of God in this town, and there are children of God in your family, somewhere else, and across this country and across the world. In other words, you love the Lord Jesus. Don't just say it. Show it. And the way that you show it, as our Lord demonstrates in this text, is you care about the spiritual well-being of those around you. Let me put it to you this way. What matters to God, what God values, is his people. People. Not buildings, not programs, not empires, not businesses and monuments. All of these things, this Apostle Peter would later say, shall fervently melt. Our Lord Jesus died for souls. He died for people. And what he wants is for people to be saved and then fed and then strengthened and then taught and then faithful to him. And guess what? If we love him, that's what we want as well. We want for his children what he wants for his children. Many of you in this room, you have children, you have grandchildren. Those are his lambs. His lambs. If you love him, make sure his lambs are cared for spiritually. Out there, as I mentioned this morning, on the mission boards are servants who are caring, as Jesus said, for other sheep that are not of this fold. And so being faithful to this, his local church, helps to feed his sheep. And in some ways, doubly so. The Lowe's are a family in the Bahamas, and they are ministering to sheep that we are supposed to care for if we love the Lord Jesus. But we're also, the Lowe's themselves are sheep, and so we should care for them as well. When was the last time you even read a missionary letter? One of those that you voted on to take as a missionary into this church family, to care about them, to be concerned with their needs, to send them a well-thought-out letter. Those of you who work in children's church or junior church or Sunday school in the jail ministry, you go to a nursing home or Spanish ministry, you go on visitation, you take young people out on visitation, and is caring, that's caring for his sheep. Music and ministry and Awana and the tape ministry and all of these ministries is caring for his sheep. Visiting and praying with families whose loved one has died or is dying is caring for his sheep. It could be a big Bible study that you are part of. It could be one-on-one. It could be discipleship. It could be writing an epistle as the Apostle Peter did twice under inspiration. That's what he was called to do, not you or I. But for you, it could be, as I said, sending out a well-thought-out letter or an email to another fellow saint, whatever it is. When you make an effort to edify, to encourage, to care for one of his, you are showing that you care and that you love him. When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, ye have done it unto me. And of course, to reach the one who's strayed from the 90 and 9 is caring for his sheep. When you do these things, I think we've begun to answer the question, lovest thou me? When you seek to harm one of his sheep, to lash out, to stand on the seashore and to yell out at Peter that he's a failure, that he's an embarrassment, that you don't want anything to do with him anymore because of his cursing and swearing. When you take one of his sheep and you fleece them, it is not showing your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I come to church to be fed, and when I come, nobody speaks to me. You know what? I'm glad you come to be fed, and if so, we have food on Wednesday nights too, and there's Sunday school, and you get fed. But just being fed is not the end. Jesus fed his disciples and then told them to go out and feed other people. And being spoken to at church is not the measure. You can be the one who speaks. You can be the one who goes out of the way and greets someone and speaks to them and in essence feeds one of his sheep. Some time ago I read a sermon by Spurgeon, and when I read it, it sounded so strangely familiar, I clipped part of it. Think of this. This was preached in London on September 7th, 1856. Here's what he says. There are many in our midst good, pious souls who love the Savior. But one of their complaints, which I have often heard, is, "Oh, I joined your church. I thought they would all be brothers and sisters to me, and that I could speak to them, and they would teach me and be kind to me. Oh, sir, I came and nobody spoke to me." I say, why did not you speak to them first? I remember reading that, and I thought to myself, here it is, 160 years ago, across the ocean, in another country, in a Baptist church, some things never change. Well, Pastor, look, you be the one who feeds the sheep. Simon, Jesus said, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus answered three times, then feed my sheep. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a message in this text from his heart to every one of us here tonight. You know, maybe for you, like Peter, you've messed up and you need restoration. Peter failed. There's no question. We can't gloss over it. He cursed and he swore and he denied the Lord three times. Three times the Lord Jesus speaks to his heart and brings him back in. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've stumbled and you tripped up. That message is here for you. He says, come and dine. On his terms, but come and dine. Maybe you're not close to the Lord in your walk and in your heart. There's no good fellowship. That message is here. Maybe you're struggling with, how can I please God? How can I be a true disciple? And how can I show Christ that I truly love him? That message is here. You don't need a title. You don't need a position. You just need to care for his sheep, because they cross your path every day, all the time. And if you want to show that you love him, love his people. Care for his people. Feed his people. It is not a difficult thing to serve God as far as what we're supposed to do. Feed his sheep. Care about them. Love the brethren. Give a glass of cold water in Jesus' name. Visit him when he's in prison, when he's sick. How do you visit Christ when he's in prison? When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. Father, bless the invitation. We thank you, Lord, for this powerful scene 2,000 years ago by the Sea of Tiberias, in which you've revealed your heart to us, and how important it is for your children to care for your children. May we all be faithful to that end. May we not be among those who say, no one spoke to me. May we be among those who say, I need to speak to others and minister to others. For those who've asked for prayer tonight, draw them to you, please. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.